Today marks the start of a three-part series exploring Paul's teaching on Christian giving as found in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. In these chapters, Paul is explaining arrangements for an offering from the Greek churches in Macedonia and Achaia, also pronounced Achaia, on behalf of the struggling churches in Judea. Paul also talks about this in 1 Corinthians 16 and in Romans 15. His teaching makes it clear that giving is not a mundane matter, nor is it on the periphery of the Christian life. Indeed, the generosity of giving is at the core of what it means to be part of the body of Christ in the world. For Paul, generosity does not refer to the size of a gift, but to the quality of a gift. He uses generosity as another word for grace. We're all the beneficiaries of the generosity of God. Our giving expresses what we believe about God. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For, as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves first to the Lord and, by the will of God, to us, so that we might urge Titus that, as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking among you. The Macedonian Christians are exemplary givers. But if you notice, Paul does not start with their giving. He starts with God's giving. The Macedonian Christians are recipients of the grace of God. They are beneficiaries of the generosity of God. Our gracious God is generous and is at work in our midst, helping us to become generous also. Not all giving is generous. Not all giving is generous. Some give transactionally. They see it as a transaction. They think, if they donate to the church, then God owes them a favor. Some give with an agenda, making a donation with strings attached in order to manipulate the results. Some give because they want to be in the spotlight. They enjoy the praise of others. But some give because their hearts have been flooded with the generous mercy of the one who made them. The grace of God flows through three tributaries, producing the Macedonian River of generosity. On one side, you have the severe affliction of persecution. On the other side, you have the weight of poverty. But in the middle is abundant joy, not dependent on circumstances. How easily our comfortable Western culture deadens our sensitivity to the needs of others. Not so the Macedonian Christians. No, no. They gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to the Lord's work. So what a model for the Corinthian Christians in the South and for us today. Next, we read that Paul urges Titus to finish what he started in Corinth, Corinth being the capital of this region known as Achaia. Well, what had he started? Titus had encouraged the Corinthian Christians to give like the Macedonian Christians. Nothing like a little friendly competition to increase the giving. They were to give in response to the generosity of God. They were to give in such a way as to communicate what they believed about the grace of God. That God is the first giver. God is the ground of all giving. Does your giving communicate the grace of God? Reading from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. Paul makes reference to the gifts of the Spirit. The Corinthian Christians excelled in many such gifts. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities the Spirit gives us to do the Lord's work. Paul argues, in effect, that if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, then not only will we be gifted for service, we will also be prompted to be generous. The Holy Spirit is given to us so we can make visible the invisible grace of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can make visible the invisible grace of God. The world has difficulty seeing the truth, goodness, and loveliness of God. But through us, these qualities can be made perceptible. There are situations in life that can cause uncertainty. And there's an illustration from a story that is a favorite of one of our members. I'm not going to tell you his name, but he might be an usher. Anyway, here's the story. A funeral service was being held for a rather unsavory character who likely never ventured anywhere near a place of worship. The service was conducted by a minister who did not know the deceased. And misreading the emotional needs of the family got carried away and poured on praises for the departed. After 10 minutes of hearing the late lamented described as an ideal husband, an ideal father, an ideal boss, the widow elbowed her son and whispered, "Go up there and check to see if it's really Papa." Uncertainty. There are situations in life that can cause uncertainty, even for Christians, particularly when we talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Bible assures us that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And one of the best evidences of the Holy Spirit is the desire to give of ourselves in service to others. Our generosity is one way to show the power and reality of the Holy Spirit. Does your giving show the Holy Spirit? Reading from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 through 9. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Paul does not command the Corinthians to be generous. Instead, he puts them to the test by first comparing them to the Macedonian Christians who gave beyond their ability and even begged for the privilege to do so. And then he compares them to Christ and what Christ did for us on the cross. Now, how would we fare in such a test? I want you to notice the two references to poverty and the two references to wealth. Because of our poverty, Christ renounced his riches so that through his poverty, we might become rich. But be clear, Paul is not talking about material wealth or poverty. The poverty of Christ is seen in his incarnation, especially in his humiliation on the cross. And the wealth that Christ gives us is salvation with all its vast richness of blessings. As we give, let us reflect on the cross and all that was accomplished for us through the death of Christ. How meager is our worldly wealth by comparison? Does your giving reveal the cross of Christ? Generous giving suits us because this is the way God has made us. Long ago, Alexander the Great conquered what his contemporaries considered to be the known world. The story is told of Alexander traveling down a street and he encounters a beggar. The beggar had no right to cry out to the emperor, but cry out he did and asked him for some money. Alexander stopped, got off his horse, and gave the beggar several gold coins. Immediately, Alexander's advisors chastised him. Lord, surely a few copper coins would have suited the beggar. Alexander replied, yes. A few copper coins would have suited the beggar's needs, but not Alexander's giving. May your giving express the way God has made you.